नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। अहं गिरित्रस्य सुरादयो ये दक्षादयोग्नेरिवखेतविमस्ते किं वा दिवां मेष पृथग् विपाथा विदत्स्वसं नो द्विजदेवमन्त्रम्। Translation. I, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and all the demigods accompanied by the Prajapatis like Daksha, are nothing but sparks illuminated by you, who are the original fire. Since we are particles of you, what can we understand about our welfare? O Supreme Lord, please give us the means of deliverance that is suitable for the Brahmins and the demigods. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In this verse, the word Vijadeva Mantram is very important. The word mantra means that which delivers one from the material world. Only the Dvijas, the Brahmins, and the Devas, the demigods, can be delivered from material existence by the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whatever is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a mantra and is suitable for delivering the conditioned souls from mental speculation. The conditioned souls are engaged in a struggle for existence. Manashishtan indriyani prakriti stani karshati. Deliverance from this struggle constitutes the highest benefit. But unless one gets a mantra from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, deliverance is impossible. The beginning mantra is the Gayatri mantra. Therefore, after purification, when one is qualified to become a Brahman, Dvija, he is offered the Gayatri mantra. Simply by chanting the Gayatri mantra, one can be delivered. This mantra, however, is suitable only for the Brahmins and demigods. In Kali Yuga, we are all in a very difficult position in which we need a suitable mantra that can deliver us from the dangers of this age. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in His incarnation of Lord Chaitanya, gives us the Hare Krishna mantra. Harinama, harinama, harinama eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, 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 Gatir Anyata. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. In his Shikshastakam, Lord Chaitanya says, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. All glories to the chanting of Sri Krishna Sankirtan. The Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is directly chanted by the Lord Himself, who gives us this mantra for deliverance. We cannot invent any means to be delivered from the dangers of material existence. Here, even the demigods, such as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, and the Prajapati, such as Daksha, are said to be like illuminating sparks in the presence of the Supreme Lord, who is compared to a great fire. Sparks are beautiful as long as they are in the fire. Similarly, we have to remain in the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and always engage in devotional service. For then we shall always be brilliant and illuminating. As soon as we fall from the service of the Lord, our brilliance and illumination will immediately be extinguished, or at least stopped for some time. When we living entities who are like sparks of the original fire, the Supreme Lord, fall into a material condition, we must take the mantra from the Supreme Personality of Godhead as it is offered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By chanting this Hare Krishna mantra, we shall be delivered from all the difficulties of this material world. I, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and all the demigods accompanied by the Prajapatis like Daksha, are nothing but sparks illuminated by you, who are the original fire. Since we are particles of you, what can we understand about our welfare? O Supreme Lord, please give us the means of deliverance that is suitable for the Brahmins and demigods. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 6, entitled The Demigods and Demons Declare a Truce. Text number 15. The demigods, the most powerful living beings within our universe, hear and find themselves in a totally helpless condition. The challenges that are facing them are beyond their capacity to overcome. And in this state, they are humbling themselves before the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In their own abodes, because each of these demigods have their own kingdoms with many followers, and actually, for most of them, they have control, they have honor, they are worshipped far beyond anything we've ever seen in this little earth planet of ours. So they appear to be like the blazing fires, and everyone around them is like little sparks. But when they are put in a situation that is beyond their control, a situation where they have lost everything, then they realize that they are like little sparks and they're approaching Krishna. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahunam yobhidadati kama. This is the constitutional position of every living being. There is one supreme eternal, and there are infinite, infinitesimal little jivas who are all forever dependent and subordinate to that one supreme eternal. And to understand this is truly the beginning of the path to the highest liberation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was speaking to Srila Sanatana Goswami, explaining bhakti from the most preliminary stages to the highest revelations of spiritual truths. He begins with this principle, Jivara Swarupoi Krishnara Nityadas, that we're eternally the servants of Krishna. Mamaivam so jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana. Manashashtan indriyani prakriti stani karishati. That we're little parts and parcels of Krishna. But what does it mean to be a little part and parcel of Krishna? If we understand Krishna, even a trace of the greatness of Krishna, then we understand the incredible, inconceivable power of even a spark of Krishna. In comparison to Krishna, we are very humble, but because we're a part of Krishna, it's inconceivable, our good fortune. Just like in the previous story of Srimad Bhagavatam, we read about Gajendra. Gajendra was more powerful than we can even imagine. He was living in a heavenly world, and he was the king. He's in the form of an elephant. And even the lions and the tigers and the rhinoceroses and everybody else, they very much bow down to him because of his powers. But like anyone in this world, however great, however powerful, there's always material nature always humbles us, some way or another. There's always something beyond us. Daivi Yeshu Gunamayi Mama Mayadratya. Modes of nature are extremely powerful, whoever we may be. And we find throughout history, even the greatest kings, queens, conquerors, whoever they may be, they always are confronted with something beyond themselves. Maybe big, maybe small. Srila Prabhupada gives example of how material nature and Krishna through material nature gives us this awareness. He tells the story of that tiger, the king of the jungle, and a little tiny bird who the tiger could swallow in a second, if he could. That little tiny bird flies right over the tiger, and even goes on his back, because tigers can't reach their backs. They have these massive claws and gigantic teeth, but they can't reach their back. And this little tiny bird just rides on his back and sings. He sings this song, which means the tiger is coming. And therefore, all the other animals in the forest, before the tiger's anywhere near, they know he's coming, so they run away. So the tiger is starving because he can't find anything to eat. And he's listening to this bird going, the tiger's coming, the tiger's coming. And wherever he goes, there's nobody there. So what's the use of him being so powerful? What's the use of his claws and his teeth if there's no one that he can catch? But yet that little tiny bird, he can't get the bird. If he tries rolling over, the bird just goes up in the air and smiles. So whoever we are, material nature knows how to disturb us. But when we understand our relationship with Krishna, and we understand his power, and we humble ourselves to that power, then we could really appreciate who we really are and who other people really are. When we tap into that grace, it's like I often speak of my remembrance of one of our god sisters who was dying of cancer. emaciated, crippled. Husband had to clean her when she responded to nature's calls, had to be spoon-fed. All her life, she was a very, very dynamic person, accomplishing things, standing up for the rights of others. And here she was about to die in a completely compromised situation physically. And she said to her husband, "I feel so insignificant. I feel so irrelevant." And then she smiled. She said, "But I have infinite relevance because Krishna loves me. And nothing could take that away from me." And then she said, "And Krishna loves everyone. Therefore, everyone has infinite relevance, infinite significance. It's not about what we can accomplish that makes us great. It's about being a part of Krishna. It's about being loved by Krishna that makes us great. But when we understand that greatness, we become grateful. We don't become proud. Because the more we understand the power of Krishna's grace that gives us life, we can't be arrogant, because we understand that that same power of the same grace is for every living entity. Some recognize it and some don't. In the spiritual world, just according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3/4 of existence, everyone is a pure devotee. Everyone is a liberated soul. Everyone is fully conscious of their relationship of a loving servant of the Lord. In this material world, there are so many forgetful souls. So if we are finding happiness and thinking myself better than others, then we're not going to be very happy in the material, in the spiritual world. Because everyone's liberated. Everyone's pure. So the more we actually make spiritual progress, the more we humble ourselves. The more we realize that our greatness is totally dependent on Krishna's greatness. And then we can actually really appreciate other people's greatness, because they are also part and parcel of Krishna. So here the demigods, the most powerful beings in all of the universe. And sometimes we read in the scriptures, even though they're very great personalities, they get caught up, some of them at least. When you have massive strength, huge followings, when you're being worshipped, when there's Vedic hymns about you, when you have enormous wealth and resources, you have whole planets and everybody is following you, it's very tempting to become overcome by all that. And sometimes they do get overcome. Because after all, they're jivas like us, most of them. You could become a demigod. Aprama bhuvanaloka punaravartanorjana mamupechita kunteya punarajanmanavichyate. Krishna tells, you could become a demigod. You could be elevated all the way to Brahma Loka. But still you have to suffer. Because still, the power of time is upon you. And there will be birth. And there will be death. And even in the, for Brahmaloka, the asuras cannot approach. But Swargaloka, up to that planetary system, the demigods are subjected to attacks by people who want what they have. And we find here The demigods, with all of what they have been defeated. In this state, they realize they're little sparks, and they're all coming running to the fire for shelter, for protection. And their prayers are very interesting because they know the philosophy. They know that Krishna knows exactly what we need and what we want. And they know they're not supposed to ask for material things because, after all, why approach somebody who could give you so much for so little? Krishna is Mukunda. He has a face like a Kunda flower, which is very beautiful, but he's also the giver of liberation. And he's the giver of the highest liberation, prema. So why approach that Supreme Personality of Godhead who could give us eternal happiness in the spiritual world for something that is going to decay and die? The demigods know that. Sometimes they become very caught up and very attached, but they know it. So in their prayers to Krishna, they're saying, actually, we shouldn't be asking you for material things because you already know what we need. So we're coming to you because we're desperate. And in this beautiful verse, they are, along with Brahma and Shiva and Daksha, the head of the Prajapatis, they are presenting themselves as being completely dependent little sparks of the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada is expanding on their words by telling us what is the nature of a little spark. When a spark is connected with the fire, it is beautiful. It's illuminating. When all the sparks together are close to the fire, it creates such light and such a beautiful experience. But when the sparks are separated from the fire and fall on the ground, they lose their light. They become their insignificance disconnected. Srila Prabhupada says they're either extinguished or they lose all their potencies for the time being. So bhakti is about taking this, because the sparks always have that potential of reconnecting those sparks to the fire. Sankirtan, when Krishna's the center, when the flame of Krishna's grace is in the center, and all us little sparks, when we're all dancing together, we could illuminate the whole world, the whole universe, and we could find real happiness. But if we take Krishna out of the center and we try to put ourselves in the center, then we're disconnected. And we're like a little spark in the ground. Some of us glow for a short time, but not for long. Krishna consciousness, one definition, very simple, is to take ourselves out of the center and put Krishna in the center. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasya ahankara vimudhatma karta hamiti manyate. Material consciousness is janasya mohoya moham mameti. When we put ourselves in the center. And when I put myself in the center, and everyone else in the universe is putting themselves in the center, then there's going to be conflict. Conflict within ourselves, conflict of envy, conflict of greed, conflict of error. arrogance, all these anarthas arise as soon as we put ourselves in the center. It's unavoidable. But when we put Krishna in the center, then all of these anarthas disappear. Krishna Surya Samaya Hoya Andhakar. Krishna is like the sun, Maya is like darkness. When we put Krishna in the center of our lives, it's like the sun rising, and all the darkness of ignorance is dispelled. But as soon as we take Krishna out of the center and put ourselves, it's darkness. And all these anarthas, all these unwanted qualities that agitate us and cause us to suffer, they manifest within. The demigods are here explaining that Krishna gives us mantra, transcendental sound vibration. The mantra of the word of the Lord, the mantra of the names of the Lord, they are given by the Lord as the means by which we can be cured of this disease of thinking that I am the controller, I am the proprietor, and I am the enjoyer. Bhoktaram jagatapasam saravalokamesh. And we're reminded and realize once again that Krishna is the proprietor and the enjoyer and the controller. And what a joy it is. The more we hear about Krishna, his beauty, his sweetness, his love, his power, his greatness, his everything, the more we're just so happy that he's the proprietor and controller of everything. If we don't know about how wonderful Krishna is, then we could think, well, what about me? I want it. When we read Krishna book, when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, and we understand the sweetness of loving Krishna, the wonderful nature of Krishna. In Krishna book, there's that chapter, Wonderful Krishna. I think it takes place after Krishna lifts up Govardhan Hill, yes? And the cowherd men are coming to Nanda Maharaj. Or did it happen after was it after Govardhan Hill, or was it after he broke the Arjuna trees? It was after Krishna did something amazing. They were all coming the gopas were approaching Nanda Maharaj. Krishna is so wonderful. How does he do all these things? And they were just going on and on and on describing Krishna's wonderful qualities. Although he's so supremely powerful, he's so loving, he's so kind, he's so sweet, he's so playful. So the more we understand Krishna, the more we simply want to be proud of the greatness of Krishna. And as we're proud of the greatness of Krishna, we become liberated from this need to be proud of what we do. Lord Brahma himself, who's the leader of the demigods, he explains in one of his prayers, after Brahma, he stole the calves and the gopas, the cowherd boys, just to see what is this Krishna. And then he came back a year later, and he saw that Krishna was playing with all the cows, or I mean the calves and the cowherd boys, just like he was before. And Brahma understood, I've already hid them in a cave and they're all sleeping. How is it that they're all here? He went to the cave and saw that they were in the cave sleeping, and then he came out and saw that they were playing with Krishna, and he became bewildered. And as he was trying to understand what was happening, then he saw every little calf and every gopa, and there were unlimited calves and gopas. They all became Narayan with four arms, holding their emblems. And they were all worshipped by all sorts of devas, every one of them. How can you see something like this? And then he was totally mystified. He couldn't even blink his eyes. He couldn't even move. He practically fell unconscious. Then everything disappeared, and all that was left is little Krishna, little cowherd boy holding some dahi and rice and fruit in his hand. And he gave an example. Like a firefly in a moonless night, it gives off light. And from where that little firefly is in the sky, when it goes and gives off that light, it really thinks it's illuminating the whole universe. Because fireflies have tiny little eyes. So from where they're in the sky, from their eyes, the light that they're radiating is going as far as they could see. I am illuminating the universe. So they really feel that they're great. But then when the sun rises, they can't make any difference at all, their little light. They realize I'm insignificant. So Brahma's saying this, I'm like a little firefly, and you're like the sun. And in the darkness of ignorance, I think, look at what I'm doing. But in your presence, I realize you're doing everything. So when we take our happiness in our little then there's not much happiness there. And it's soon to end. There's always something else more. But when we take our happiness in the light of the sun and understand I am part of that sun and we're all part of that sun, then there's unlimited happiness. That is ananda. Ananda is when we accept that Krishna is the supreme controller of all controllers. And the same Brahma who's heading up this assembly of demigods praying to Krishna, in his Brahma Samhita, he begins with this prayer. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadira Dir Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he loved this Shikshastakam, this Brahma Samhita so much. There's a place today on the banks of the Payaswini River in South India, where the Adi Keshav temple is. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on his tour, he was there, and he heard the Brahmins chanting this Brahma Samhita, composed by Lord Brahma. And he considered, everything is here. It's a description of the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan. It's a description of how material existence is working, the role of all of the different principal devas in relationship to Krishna. It's describing how Krishna incarnates within this world. It's describing the various levels of existence within this world, beyond this world, Mahesh Dham, Devi Dham, Vaikuntha Dham, and ultimately Goloka. But everything begins with this Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha. That Krishna is the supreme controller of all controllers. And his body, his pastimes, his names, they are all eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. He's the cause of all causes, the source of everything that exists. He's that fire. We are all the sparks from that fire. To surrender to Krishna by taking pleasure in glorifying Krishna, by taking pleasure in seeing the beauty and the glory of Krishna's power, brings us unlimited happiness. Because Krishna in every aspect is unlimited. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught us from the Vedas themselves, Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Ras Vigra, that all the powers and glory of Krishna, all the love and the mercy of Krishna has descended within his name. Kali Kale Namarupe Krishnavatar. In this age of Kali, Krishna has fully revealed himself within the transcendental sound vibration of these mantras. Nam Nama Kadi Bahuta Nija Sarvashaktis. All the powers and strength and sweetness of Krishna's love is within the name. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam Eva Kevala. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking to Prakashananda Saraswati in Varanasi, he revealed that when he was in Gaya at the Vishnupad temple, he met his guru Ishwarapuri. And he said, my guru told me that there's no use in me trying to go deeply into the study of Vedanta. Just chant the holy names of Krishna. And he gave me this verse. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatara. In the age of Kali, everyone, anyone can attain the ultimate perfection by this chanting of Harinam. Srila Prabhupada is explaining great verses like Gayatri can give liberation, could give love of Krishna. But generally, only people who are very qualified Brahmins or Devas can chant it properly. But this Hare Krishna mantra, according to Kali Santarana Upanishad, it's the perfect medicine for the illness of this Kali Yuga. And it's for everyone. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip, he was having his night kirtans at the house of Srivas. And only the most intimate, very elevated associates could come to those kirtans. Because the types of ecstatic manifestations that were happening there were too much for an ordinary person to comprehend. And some people were very much criticizing, why are we not allowed in? And they were spreading the most nasty, terrible lies against Srivas and Lord Chaitanya and all of the devotees because they were envious. Because they were not allowed in. And if they went in, they would probably just criticize. But at the same time, there were the innocent people who were just common townspeople of Navadvip. And they would come and they would sometimes offer Lord Chaitanya some flowers or some coconuts or some rice, just as gifts of love. And Lord Chaitanya, out of kindness, he gave them all the same opportunity as what was going on in the house, entrance into that ecstatic pastimes of love. He gave them the Maha Mantra, said, my dear brothers and sisters, I'm giving you this mantra, 32-syllable, 16-word mantra. It's called the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama Rama. This mantra, Bhaktivinoda Thakur cites Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking, Enechi Ashadi Maya Nashi Boralagi Harina Mahamantra Lao Tumi Magi. That I have the medicine that is just perfect for all of you to bring you back to your original natural health as ecstatic lovers of Krishna. It is this Mahamantra. The Lord Chaitanya gave it to everyone. He gave him simple instructions. There's no hard and fast rules. Chant it always, whether you're walking or sitting or laying down or whether you're eating or whether you're working or whether you're at home or in your work, just chant this Maha Mantra. Remember the names of the Lord. It will purify your heart. It will cure you of this disease of darkness and ignorance. And Thakur Haridas, when he was speaking the glories of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he said, the real goal is not attaining miraculous powers. It's not liberation from all suffering. It's not elevation to the higher worlds of the heavens. It's not even liberation or mukti. The real goal of this chanting of Hare Krishna mantra is it awakens prema. It awakens love for Krishna. Anandam buddhivaradanam pratipatam punam ratasvadanam. It's that happiness that everyone is ultimately seeking. And this beautiful mantra is just suitable for everyone and anyone. Dina hina yata chilo harinam utharilo tara sakshi jagai madai. That the holy names of Krishna are so powerful. And they're for everyone. They can give the highest realization to anyone who chants it properly under the guidance and direction of the Lord's sincere and pure devotees. And the testimony of this, Narottam Das Thakur says, is the story of Jagai and Madai. Because we're all quite fallen, and we have envy, and we have lust, and arrogance, and greed, and all this material illusions within our hearts. So we think, even when I chant the mantra so much, who am I to chant? But Jagai Madhai, how much more sinful they were than we could ever possibly even dream of being. But yet, when they received the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, and they accepted the mantra from him and chanted with humility and sincerity, they were given prem bhakti. They were made into eternal loving associates of the Supreme Personality of God. So this story gives great hope to everyone. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this Maha Mantra to the common townspeople, he gave this Maha Mantra to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the greatest scholar. He gave the Maha Mantra to Prakashananda Saraswati, the most powerful, learned renunciate, sannyasi. He gave this Maha Mantra to Kulavecha Sridhar, who was a simple banana seller. He gave the Maha Mantra to King Prataparudra, who was the emperor, who was the king of the entire Orissa. He gave the Maha Mantra to Jagai and Madhai, who were murderers, who would personally, with their own hands, slaughter cows and drink their blood, kill people, rape women. He gave the Maha Mantra to the most pious, the most sinful, and it had the same result for everyone. Purified them. Nityananda Prabhu, Haridas Thakur were given this instruction by Lord Chaitanya, give everyone the holy name. But along with the name, they gave instructions. Whatever envious, materialistic things you've been doing, just stop it. You can't continue doing these things. Live in a spirit of servitude. Trinadapi Sunichina. Live with humility, with respect for others. Follow these regulative principles. And chant the holy names. And if we receive the mantra under the guidance with the grace of Srila Prabhupada, he's given us the instructions in his books, he's given us the instructions through his life example. If we just receive it from this holy places, and live according to these simple teachings, then the power of the mantra, the demigods ultimately are seeking nectar. Every living being is ultimately seeking this nectar. And here, Srila Prabhupada is reminding us from the words of the demigods in Srimad Bhagavatam that the nectar that we are seeking is in this mantra, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.